Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 2-Point Conversion. I'm your host, Kyle Senra. Joining me, the full crew, Gladys, Doc, the B-League Dan. How's everyone doing?
Fantastic. Fan-fucking-tastic. Steelers lose because Ben Roethlisberger gets...
the game sucks. Glad to have you, Gladys. Deep. More glad than you are about your Steelers. I mean, the Packers lost to dramatic fashion, so I feel your pain a little.
That was the ultimate gut punch. Yeah. The Raiders lost in not dramatic fashion. They lost in very consistent fashion. So that was
sorry there, Doc. And Dan, your team's gonna win tonight.
There you go.
Gladys, you wanna be a Giants fan tonight? Let's go. Let's go. Listen, none of your teams won this week. None of your teams won this week. You know, I'm the one that's holding down the fort. Like,
you got to bring it home. You got to keep us from the golden sombrero.
That's exactly. It. We need something, you know. It's not like we lost to Minnesota or the Chargers or the Bengals. No, we got Tampa, the reigning Super Bowl champions. We're Tom Brady coming off a loss. Like, it's going to be great. It's going to be a fun game.
Yeah, it's going to be a great game. Yeah.
Anyway, so again, glad to have everyone here. As always on the 2-Point Conversion, we talk about the Monday night game. We'll get to that a bit later, but we'll start with some injuries. And as we've been kind of mentioning the last couple of weeks, I don't think there's been much change. The Twitter comments, well, you can see the video on Twitter. The Twitter comments don't appear in our feed. So if you do want to comment, we encourage you to check out the YouTube channel, Going for Two Live. And also, I guess, on Facebook as well, the comments come through. I think sometimes you can't see the names there. But, so I think YouTube is probably the go-to place, the go-to going for two place for the comments. But I appreciate everyone who's watching, viewing any passy, whether it's live or on the podcast feed. But, guys, a lot of injuries. So let's get right into it because there's some, questions, injuries for tonight. Starting on the Bucs side, Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, right? It's kind of been more games this year they've missed than played. Brown's been ruled out with the ankle injury. Gronkowski, questionable. Game time decision with the back.
He's in.
Gronkowski's active for tonight.
Okay.
Yes. He's in.
All right, then. So, all right. Well, good luck. Good luck to anyone who has Gronk and anyone who's facing him, I guess.
Of course he's playing tonight. Of course he is. Why wouldn't he?
All right. On the Giants side, Saquon Barkley looks like he's going to be playing as well. Sterling Shepard, however, thigh injury out, I think. Has he been ruled out?
He's out. Okay. And Devontae Booker is in too. He had a hip thing, but he's active.
Okay.
Okay, they get Gronk, we get Devontae Booker. Let's see how this works.
Seems like a fair trade to me.
Seems fair. Saquon back.
Yeah,
how much? One rushing team in the league. I think that sounds spectacular.
Now, like, Gibson did get two touchdowns against him. Actually, had his best fantasy game of the year. So your boy Antonio Gibson, Doc. I don't know if you want to label him your boy.
No.
I don't know if I can label him my boy, but I remember when we did the rankings, I was the highest on him out of all of us. That hasn't entirely worked out because I think I had Jonathan Taylor was one below him, if I'm not mistaken. So, that was the old in the neighborhood play. It's like,
you're banking on the other 2020 rookie running back.
Exactly.
So, I mean, there's hope for Barkley, but, like, I guess how much workload are we expecting him to get tonight? Is he going to, especially with Booker dealing with the injury, is Barkley going to get, like, 80% of the running back touches? Dan? No one wants to commit to that?
Dan?
I thought it was a tough thing. Look, if from the Giants' side of things, I would say that they will split him like they did the start of the season, but I think there was much more concern when he came back, obviously, the ACL, MCL. That was it MCL or PCL, Doc? I can't remember. I
think it was PCL. It was ACL. It was a complex ACL tear.
Yeah, so it might have been. But, when he came back, obviously they were very timid to bring him in. And that's great because if this is a guy that they were planning on paying a boatload of money to, then, bring him along the way you should. They don't have time for doing that. This is week 11, not week one. They need to get in the ball as much as possible. I've got it written down here. Somewhere, where am I? I have it. They average about 70 to 80 yards less per game without Barkley. Mm-hmm. So they average 380 yards a game with Barkley, 277 without him. So they need him to go and get going quickly. Obviously, running backs have, we just mentioned Antonio Gibson. If you remember a few weeks back before that, Myles Gaskin went absolutely bananas on him. They can be had by running backs to a degree, but they were all receiving. I remember Gaskin, he went for like 90 yards receiving or something stupid, right?
Yeah. Especially running backs that can catch the ball, they can, beat him.
This will play right into Barkley and Booker. He's not bad receiving in that regard, but if Barkley can get going and get going quickly, they can't afford a slow start. They will not catch up. So they have to get him going early. What they do from there in terms of what split, if he's doing well, I can't see them holding him back. But we already know. We've been over high ankle sprain how many times? And this was, what, a low ankle sprain, right? It's still been about 5 weeks been out. So if they have been cautious, great. They're 3-6. They can't wait any longer. They have to go because they're running in. The Giants' schedule's not too bad. It's, you know, Philly, Washington. It's a couple soft games. Chicago's in there too. So I'm not saying that this is must-win because this is Tampa. But they can't wait around to see if he's good to go anymore. They have to get a move on.
And we'll move on. We'll talk a bit more about the Monday night preview later in the show once we get through all the injuries. For now, we're going to look ahead to the next set of primetime games, the Thanksgiving Thursday slate. So three games, six teams playing just 3 days from now, and there's some key injuries. So we'll start with the Bears-Lions game. Jared Goff, oblique injury. He missed last week, and Tim Boyle got the start. Doc, should we expect Tim Boyle to get the start again on Thanksgiving in Week 12?
Well, it's a really good question. The first injury I want to talk about is my shoulder injury from holding this gigantic belt that I have right here. For all of you that are not watching on YouTube, listening to the podcast, I have my fantasy baseball championship belt came in.
And, oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, very, very proud of this guy. But it's super duper heavy, so I'm going to put it down.
Very brave of you to show the championship.
I'm going to tear my rotator cuff holding that thing up. Shout out to the Clive Warren All-Star. Shout out to Dave and Mark, my co-managers. But this is a football show. I am a jack of all trades, but this is a football show. So let's talk about Jared Goff.
I didn't mean to be rude. I just thought that's how you dress on Monday nights.
For the record, I work nights this week, and I'm going. By the time the show is over, I'll be up for 24 hours straight. So never let it be said that I am not committed to showing up for the viewers. So
we appreciate your dedication.
It's going to be fun.
He's off with a belt on his shoulder. Yeah, so you've torn this. But so yeah. This could be you. Exactly. Just keep working.
Exactly. So, Jared Goff with the oblique. It was a little bit surprising that he missed the game. He's actually kind of shaping up to be 50-50 for this week coming up. You know, I don't know how much you like Boyle in there as the quarterback because he was abysmal. The only thing that was interesting is that Swift and Hockenson actually seemed to do better with, you know, kind of a worse quarterback. But other than that, yeah, it's one of those things. I think Edwin Porras mentioned this, the football injury doc. He has an injury table of kind of when guys are going to come back. And his question was, Jared Goff's injury, why do you care? Like, you shouldn't be starting this guy anyway. And I was like, that is not invalid. So that's kind of the way that I look at it with this. It's just kind of, we'll watch the practice reports and see, but hopefully this doesn't matter to you. There's a lot of other guys we could talk about that should hopefully matter more to you than Jared Goff.
Yeah. Hard hitting injury analysis right off the bat there. Sorry.
Justin Fields in that same game.
What's that?
Like Justin Fields in that same
game. Yeah, like Justin Fields. There you go. So
Transition. Perfect. You should be
hosting.
This one
kind of scared me. This one scared me a little bit because they did the usual deal. He injured his ribs. X-rays are negative, but they took him to the hospital to look for additional injuries, like his spleen. So that's not great when you hear that. It turns out that so far everything is okay, which is the good news. Because in addition to the ribs kind of getting injured and being really painful, the ribs are there to protect all the soft, really important internal organs that are on the inside, like the heart, the lungs, the spleen, the liver, et cetera. And sometimes they get injured. And we saw that, I think, a few times when Andrew Luck had a rib injury that turned out he had a laceration to his kidney and he was basically done for the year. So
Keenan Allen, I think, had something similar, right?
Was it Keenan Allen? It's,
I know you had a kidney laceration. I don't know if it was because of rib injury. Maybe it was just a random.
He might have just, yeah. He, I mean, sometimes you just get hit and the soft tissue gives before the bones do. But in his case, so far they're saying it's just bruising. But for those of you that are veterans of watching the show or listening to the show, you know how this goes. It's like we saw it with Tua this year. We saw it with Darrell Henderson. We saw it with Amari Cooper. Sometimes these, you know, fractures or breaks in the ribs or cartilage tears or internal injuries can show up later. So my gut feeling is because it's such a short turnaround that he's not going to play this week and Andy Dalton's going to get the start. Hopefully that they don't find anything else and find multiple rib fractures like they did with Tua and or rib cartilage tears like they did with Darrell Henderson. But for now, I think they're just going to err on the side of caution. And since it's such a quick turnaround, they're just going to give him the time to kind of heal up. That's my take on it for right now.
All right. So, yeah, I guess you certainly would rather play Andy Dalton than Tim Boyle, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. The understatement of the millennium there.
Even without Allen Robinson, who I guess dealing with a hamstring injury, and he might not be available to the Bears either.
Yeah. Yeah, and he missed this week, and yeah, it's just one of those things. We got to watch practice reports. The good news is that we had a Darnell Mooney sighting finally, and he looks like he's on the upward trajectory. So that's interesting. Cole Kmet looks interesting there. David Montgomery is back. Like that offense is starting to come together. I don't know if Coach Nagy is going to be around to reap the benefits, but it looks like they're trending in the right direction, regardless of whether they have Andy Dalton there or Justin Fields.
I thought you were going to say the good news is you're not even playing Robinson anyway, so the injury doesn't affect your start status, right? Because you haven't been starting him the last few weeks.
Hopefully not. Hopefully not.
I have a question totally unrelated to what we're talking about.
Okay.
Completely. Is that a Superman outfit that you have framed back there?
Oh, I've never noticed before. Let's see. That guy right there?
Yeah.
That is a award that when I was in Syracuse, I was Teacher of the Year, and the residents, the doctors in training that I worked with, they used to call me Superman because whenever they needed a lecture, somebody flaked on them, they would grab me and I would give them a lecture, and I would show them cases or whatever. And as a thank you, they got me that Superman shirt and they all signed it and they framed it for me. So that was my going away present.
So he's got a championship. He's got the Superman shirt. He's got his own book even.
What the? I feel inadequate right now to be on the same podcast with you.
Well, you flatter me, but you guys are – if there's anybody who feels inadequate at times, it's me. When you guys start spouting ridiculous football knowledge and I have no idea what you're talking about, I'm like, hey, I just know injuries. I don't know what any of this other stuff means. It sounds good, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
I spelled a lot. I don't know how much knowledge is in there. It's a lot of ranting.
Well, it sounds good. You know, what do they say if you can't dazzle them with details and baffle them with bullshit?
There you go.
Well said, Doc. And good. I mean, that is not the worst transition because I mean, we ended that one game. Let's get to the next game now. So I think that closes that book on that Lions Bears game. Let's get to the other traditional Thanksgiving matchup: the Cowboys this time hosting the Raiders.
Yeah.
And potentially without their top two receivers. We know for sure Amari Cooper's out on the COVID list. It's 10-day period. And from the time he first tested it would be 10 days is later than this Thursday game. So we already know he's out. Yeah. Is there much further detail, Doc? Is that something that probably later on in the weekend, maybe we'll find out that he's off the COVID list, assuming?
Let's hope so. I mean, it's just really unfortunate timing for him because on any other week, he probably would have had enough time to get only miss one game and get cleared, provided he's asymptomatic. And by all accounts, he's doing okay. So that's the good news. But yeah, because he's unvaccinated, there's a mandatory 10-day isolation or quarantine period. And he's going to miss the Thanksgiving game. And in addition to that, CeeDee Lamb got a concussion last week and had to leave the game, and he's in the concussion protocol. The good news is, so that's the bad news. The good news is that it seems like he's progressing relatively well through the concussion protocol. But to be honest with you, a 3 or 4 day turnaround is a really quick turnaround for a concussion. So even though they're saying all the right things, like I'm still really trepidatious that he's potentially going to be unavailable for this game. I'm hoping for the best, but I don't know.
it probably has to be like he has to clear everything like to the day. Like he doesn't have one day to spare. He misses one day of progression really rapidly.
And I don't know if we've seen that yet. I mean, the best that I think people have done with the concussion protocol when they came back the next game is like they were good by Friday. And obviously the game will be over by then. So, you know, he's young and hopefully it wasn't that bad and he's able to progress. But I would not be surprised, you know, hope for the best, but I would not be surprised if, you know, they're very hopeful at this point, but he plateaus in his progression and he ends up not making it just because he runs out of time. And if the game would have been on Sunday, then he potentially would have been there, but not in time enough for Thursday. So that brings us to Michael Gallup and potentially Cedric Wilson being 1-2 for that offense. And Schultz and the running back, you know, Tony Pollard getting involved, like all these other guys got to step up. And the good news is that against the Raiders defense, they're most likely going to be able to. So
I would name one more name, Malik Turner as well. I think like if they're in three wide receiver sets, it's probably Gallup, Wilson, and Turner, I think. Maybe Pollard's the slot receiver more than anything. So that's a good point there, Dom.
I can't remember his name, but the Cowboys, the left.
Tyron Smith.
Thank you. What's up with him?
Left tackle.
What's up with him?
I think he had a foot injury, but whatever they said that they were encouraged that he was looking good. So that's something. I'll verify that for you. But I did read that they were encouraged that he may actually play.
Dan, do you have a question for us or anything about the Cowboys? I know you don't really like talking about the Cowboys.
I don't mind the Cowboys. I don't like. I shouldn't say that. My kids are from Dallas. What do we know more about is Blake Jarwin? Has anyone heard anything about him when he's due to be active? I know he was on the IR, but that 3-week period I feel like might be up for him.
So that I haven't heard anything on him in forever.
I know, it's crazy. I'm vague about what happened to him as well. Because I remember he was there one day and then he wasn't. And then that was it. So that's something I'm going to try and find out. But I feel like if that is a guy that, you know, if they are short of receivers and he is activated, he is a name I'd probably look for on waivers this week. That's what I'd probably lean towards Blake Jarwin as well.
Let's see. It looks like it was a hip injury. They put him on IR 2 weeks ago. So
so he still might be out. Okay.
Yeah.
I just had a feeling that he was due to come back sooner than later. I just felt like he was due. But all right, 2 weeks isn't enough. All right. Sorry
about that. Doc, anything you want to add about this Raiders game? Or we move on to the final Thanksgiving game?
No, just that they did it to me. This is the last thing I'm going to say about it because I'm sure everybody's tired of hearing it. But they did it to me again. They did it to all the Raider fans again. They got our hopes up, and then they do it every year, or seemingly for the last few years. They start out well, everything's clicking, and we're like, it's finally going to happen, and then
You lose to the Giants, and here you are in a pit of just nastiness. Listen, you can be a Giants fan. You're on the right side of that.
I'm a Giants fan tonight, and that anybody that knows me knows that's saying something. So there you go.
Dan's recruiting heavy tonight.
Just for you, B-League.
Anytime someone complains about their team, the first thing I do is want to be a Giants fan, and they go, "Don't." What's wrong with the Giants? Come on, they're not that bad. They're not good.
Anytime anybody talks trash about the Giants, you just give them the old Patrick Waugh line. It's like you can't hear them because you have two Lombardi trophies clogging your ears.
I don't say anything. Goalie reference. Love the Canadian content.
I thought the Canadian would like that one. Say, yeah. I told you, jack of all trades.
Sounds good. Patrick Waugh with the Canadien. He was very French related. I mean, not quite the Saints. I mean, Louisiana sort of has that little French Acadian to Cajun influence.
For sure.
Talk about New Orleans hosting the Bills on Thursday night. So Alvin Kamara has missed, two games now with a knee injury? Any news about that, Doc?
Yeah, just that this one kind of snuck up on everybody. Whereas like people were saying maybe it was an ankle, but prior to the game that he missed, he finished that game, and it was just like they found it in retrospect, I believe, or at least it wasn't like he got carted off the field or anything. And then it was is it an ankle? It's a knee. Turns out it's a knee, and then he's out. And then he wasn't particularly close this week, and they're already kind of laying the groundwork that he's not going to be around this week either. So I'm definitely starting to get worried as to what the heck is going on here. So not a lot of detail as of right now as to what's happening, but definitely concerning. And if he doesn't get close this week, then I really got to get concerned that there's something insidious happening in there and they're not telling us what it is. And let's see, we're getting, Dalton expected to start. We got confirmation on that. Breaking news.
Oh, okay. So Fields expected to sit out for a week.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I guess that does it for the Thursday game. I guess nothing on the Bills side.
We can mention him. Oh, he hasn't really lived up to expectations, but he showed up with a knee injury, sprained his MCL, and the timeline they gave suggests that it's at least a partial tear. They gave him a 4 to 6 week timeline, suggesting it's a grade 2 or a partial tear injury. This could take him out for the rest of the regular season. I don't know if you guys, tight end is kind of such a barren wasteland, but I don't know if you want to invest in, Trevor Siemian, potentially Taysom Hill. I know Dan doesn't want to, but anybody else at tight end down there, are you interested in any of these guys? Even the biggest optimist here.
Juwan Johnson would be the guy that was catching touchdowns, right? Like he's, you throw him in, you hope he gets, two touchdowns and gets you 14 points, basically 12 points, whatever it be.
I guess you could do worse, right?
The thing with Troutman was he was finally starting to get targets the last couple of weeks. So while he disappointing started, it looked like on the uptick, like where, okay, you might actually be startable now. And now it's, like a dog. If he's out for most of the regular season, just, I think he's droppable at this point. Yeah. I don't think he's worth hanging on to. I don't know if there's the upside in that offense is that great anyway. But I don't think I'd, maybe look elsewhere at tight end. I know someone dropped Jeff Swaim. Maybe he comes back and look the game without Jeff Swaim. The Titans offense did horrible. So maybe that's what they needed is that tight end. No, I think maybe another player on that offense that's been injured that might have a bigger impact. But we're not talking about past injuries. We're talking about, current injuries, players still dealing with things. So was there anything about the Bills before we move on to the main slate of injuries? Sorry, there's so many.
I don't think so. I think they managed to get off.
Zach Moss looks back now and healthy. Not that he's getting that much work, but he's healthy at least.
Back and healthy, and he scored half a point more than we did.
Aaron Rodgers dealing with a toe injury. So there's a few quarterbacks. We know Kyler Murray's also been dealing with an injury, missed the last couple weeks. Rodgers has played, so what's this looking like? So Murray actually has a bye this week. Rodgers has a bye next week. So I guess both of these weeks. So what do we think about Rodgers this week, and what do we think about Murray next week when both of those other players are on bye? I don't know if that confused anyone, me saying all that, but go ahead, Doc.
Okay, so I'll start with Murray because I think this is the easier one to kind of sort out. So this is kind of like Saquon Barkley 2.0. Like it was estimated to be a low ankle sprain, but it looks like he's going to miss a month and then he'll be back. So again, low ankle sprains can be bad too, and high ankle sprains are always bad. But he missed weeks 9, 10, and 11. He's on a bye this week. Kyler Murray, I expect him back after that. And that kind of fits along with the timeline for Saquon Barkley. So unless he has some kind of setback or he injures it in practice or something in the week leading up to week 13, I expect him to be back then.
Doc. I just think it's actually a good transition point. I forgot about DeAndre Hopkins as well.
Are
we thinking the same thing for that timeline?
Yeah.
Just because same team?
I think and to be honest with you, I probably should have been able to predict this a little better than I did because of the bye week. It would have been really silly for them to bring him back. And then, especially since they were doing well without them, and then risk them getting re-injured. So holding him out through the bye, even when he got hurt in week 9, it actually made a lot of sense. And I didn't really – usually I'm pretty good at picking up on that, and I kind of missed it this time. My expectation is, again, barring some kind of setback or something, he should be back after the bye in 2 weeks.
And D-Hop, do you expect him back at the same time?
That's who we were talking about. I expect them both back after the bye. Kyler Murray and Hopkins.
And especially in super flex leagues, you're probably no choice but to play Murray. Even in single quarterback league, like the upside is there. Are you trusting Hopkins his first week back? Are you going to play him in your lineup?
I have him on one of my rosters, and if he's active, he's going in. that's it. I'm not messing around with it.
That seemed pretty confident, Doc. So thanks for that. I'm sure the Hopkins managers are appreciate that. At least that ability to kind of just, okay, he's healthy, he's in.
Yep, okay, for sure.
So, I'm sorry, I was texting.
Honesty is great.
No, my sister, she's like listening to the chat, but she's like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. So I told her, hold on, Dan, I'm going on an epic rant, and she'll love it. Aaron Rodgers, is he like becoming the biggest friggin' baby in the world? Like, I'm really tired of Aaron Rodgers right now. And which is saying this, he's like really pretty. But I don't know. After the COVID thing, it's just like, wow. That's all I hear.
Do you feel like he's becoming a little bit
of a bitch? I'm sorry. That's not where you're going with that? Wow. My bad.
I just feel like I just don't care if he's hurt now.
Yeah, does that make exactly.
Sense? You guys are rough, man. Jesus.
No. Listen, like, I, you know, fool me once.
He's like the bloody opposite of like, that side. You know what I mean? Oh, my God. I hurt my arm.
It's like, yeah, sorry. He's just a little, yeah, I don't want to call him fraudulent, but it's just one of those things where, like, you know, I feel like what he's saying, his feelings are invalid to me now. Like,
that's the thing.
Like, I just don't care if he's hurt because, like, how do you believe him?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I have some thoughts on this.
Go ahead, Doc. Feel free to share. That's what we're doing here.
Jesus. All right. So, look, this is actually really predictable. So, he's probably one of the best quarterbacks of all time. And people just want to find a way to tear you down when you're on top. So it was always going to be. So I'm not saying you guys are. I'm just saying people in general. They find a little crack in the armor, and they want to bash the guy because, yeah, he's a little bit of a prima donna. But newsflash, he's always been a prima donna, and nobody gave a shit because he was going out and being awesome every year. And now, you know, he's having some setbacks. He did not do himself any favors when he talked about how he had this sense of righteous indignation where he's like, I don't understand why people are so upset with me. I'm just going with what's best for my body. I'm like, listen, dude, you can't willfully deceive the public and then, like, throw your hands up and say, hey, I don't know what you guys are getting so upset about when you get a backlash for it, when you get caught. So, yeah, I understand it. I understand where you guys are coming from. I get it.
Willful deception is more than a little chink in the armor, too.
It's fair. It's disingenuous, and people don't like that.
Yeah,
I just don't get it. All you had to say was, I would respect the athlete more, and I understand. I've seen it firsthand what happens to athletes on a day-to-day basis. I lived with one. I get it, right? I would have respected him so much more, even if I didn't agree with him. In September, if you said, you know what, I don't want to get vaccinated because of these reasons, and it's my body, it's my choice, yeah. I don't want to do it. And I would have said, cool, no dramas. But like, now Roethlisberger gets it, and all these top guys are getting it, and you're like, you guys come out here and you're like, you hit behind that was Dak Prescott, right? This garbage HIPAA thing, right? Like, you don't even know what it means and you're spouting it off like you should. Just say, I didn't get it done. I don't want to get it done, but here's what I'm doing. I'm taking every precaution possible, aside from that, to keep myself and everyone else safe. If an athlete says that, all right, because like, these guys have way too much money on the line not to tell us that, to not want to do that either. Forget what it costs the player. It costs these teams millions of dollars. Like, who the hell wants to watch a game without Dak Prescott or Ben Roethlisberger? But I don't want to watch Mason Rudolph. I don't want to do that. I'd rather watch Ben Roethlisberger play.
I don't think Mason Rudolph wants to watch Mason Rudolph. Yeah. I got a question for Kyle. Kyle, do you think that if he could go into the time machine and go back in time like a month ago or whenever, the beginning of the season, would he? Do you think now, knowing what he knows now, would he do it any differently? Or would he?
I think if he's going back in time, he's thinking way bigger than that. He's trying to change way bigger stuff.
Fair enough.
No, just tell us. Just tell us that. Like, I understand like the backlash, but that backlash is very much temporary. It goes.
I don't know. You know, I got to be honest with you. It takes me back to my childhood when my parents used to say, oh, you know, you could tell us anything. Like, we'll, you know, whatever. And then I'd be like, I tell them like I did something bad and then I get grounded for 2 weeks. And it's like, that feels really disingenuous.
Well,
definitely modeled my behavior. I'm like, I'm not telling you guys shit. You guys can't handle it.
Well, I'll tell you what, here's the other side of it. We're talking about the time machine for Aaron Rodgers, right? There's a chance that he moves off from Green Bay at the end of the year. If you're a future team, like I know, like you're taking him hands down, but you're sitting there going, this guy kind of lied, and now he's getting hurt. Like, that's also the other side of this. Like, how would you trust Rodgers after that?
Somehow I feel like they're going to be able like to the Bucks. It, you know?
I mean, it seems like the Bucks trust Antonio Brown after him actually lying to the team because, like, you know,
did he?
Because it seems like Rodgers didn't lie to the league. The team was well aware. It's like the word you said, Gladys. He willfully deceived maybe the media, but it sounds like Rodgers never lied to the league about anything.
Yeah, no.
Whereas Antonio Brown knew what the deal was. Like, to me, I'm surprised you guys aren't bringing that up and that the ire behind that. There was a CFL player who did what Brown did, lied about his vaccination status. Edmonton cut him, and the league basically said no team is allowed to sign him this year.
Yeah,
so
I remember
the Bucks have clearly stood behind Brown because they said that
his card was fine. I thought the Bucks said that they checked it out and his card was fine.
I read the same thing.
Yeah, that's what they said.
All
right. Yeah.
Somebody's not telling the truth, but apparently he got vaccinated in front of team officials. At least that's their story. So they're this other guy is lying. Yeah, it also turned out that I think Antonio Brown owes him like five figures. I don't know what he was cooking for him, but it must be something really nice. Anyway, so that might have something to do with it. I don't know.
So Rodgers is going to play. It seems like he was dealing with a toe injury all week and he still played. So like, I don't see him not playing next week. Like, yeah, that's so just the takeaway there.
Let me speak on the part that I actually know something about, not his state of mind or his character. This is the thing that it was interesting to me. He said that he thought this injury was worse than turf toe, which turf toe is really bad. So that scared me a little bit when I read that. And I was like, wait a second. Like, I thought this was just turf toe and whatever. He said it was worse than that. So that's could be problematic.
Are you taking Aaron Rodgers' medical professional word about something being worse than something else?
No, he said it felt worse. Like, turf toe really hurts. Like, he said it hurt worse than turf toe.
I don't know.
Has he ever had turf toe in his career?
I'm sure he has. I don't know, you know, if it ended up costing him any games. But take a look. It's hard to play football for 20 years and not get turf toe at least once.
He might be saying it one way and, you know, it could be another thing, though, you know. Dan is
working in absolutes now. He's like, it's like a court of law. He's like, you say one thing, it's fruit of the poisonous tree. He's like, I can't trust anything.
Either
he says,
or, Aaron Rodgers, either or.
Well, I'll defend him a little because I know his relationship with the media has been rosy. Like, a lot of stuff, he's talked about it too. Like, there's this thing that he talked to Phil Simms in a meeting and it got totally misconstrued live on national television. Like, Simms kind of said, oh, yeah, he likes overinflated footballs. It's like, no. I think Rodgers basically said, I'd never be able to throw an underinflated football. That's not how, I wouldn't be able to throw that well. Maybe others could, but, like, he was basically just like, I have no idea about this. Like, I whatever the rules are, I relate to that. And then it just got totally misconstrued. I feel like there's a lot of stuff that happens. And it seems like what we've seen over the last year with Roger, like the Pat McAfee show, he's starting to not care anymore. He'll just say whatever he feels and wants. He'll give whatever truth he wants to give. And the media, he feels like the media is just going to misconstrue it anyway. So I also got to – this has been a really bad year for NFL beat reporters doing their job properly. Like the whole 49ers, Mac Jones thing, Trey Sermon – like, he said he was inoculated, and then everyone just took it at face value. A bunch of reporters whose job is to find facts just kind of let him off the hook and didn't do anything. So as much as he misconstrued everyone, everyone around him was pretty lazy to not look at.
Yeah, agreed.
Like, again, there was official documentation to show that he wasn't vaccinated. Like, if people wanted to find out, they should have looked. So that's more on – I know there's a lot of, like, some beat reporters, like, oh, really insulted by all this, but that's on you to, like – you know, if that information is available, the people around you, if you care that much, look for it. So,
yeah, I hate to be a wet blanket here to go even further, but we were talking about HIPAA. So speaking about journalists and things, and I know they have a job to do, but you're not supposed to ask people stuff like that. They're under no obligation to answer you. It's protected health information. Just saying. Like, everybody gets really emotional about it, and I get it. but you're not supposed to ask people that. It's if but somebody wants to have to discuss injuries that's their regardless, business,
right?
But,
like, and to be fair, like the sports industry is. You are revealing a lot more information than the normal public is, right? Like, again, we're talking about players' injuries, like their bodies right now, whereas normal everyday people, we wouldn't be. So do you want to keep talking injuries or we want to keep saying Rodgers?
Sure. The last thing I'll say on this is that just to reiterate, being at a press conference is you're not in a court of law. Like, you're not you're not held to the same standard. So it's going to happen. Okay. So the thing about Aaron Rodgers is important. This toe injury did not look like it was much of an issue for him in week 11 against the Rams pass rush. That may be a different story. And he does have increased risk of leaving the game early because of the injury. If he aggravates it, or if the game gets out of hand one way or another, they might pull him. So I don't think you're not going to play him, but just something else to keep in mind.
More than that, not having a starting left tackle, because Elgton Jenkins left with what I think has been officially ruled as an ACL tear. So he's done for the season.
Well, that's not
David Bakhtiari has been like hasn't really been practicing yet. He's off the PUP list. Like, he could play theoretically this week. Not sure if he plays against the Rams or not. If not, it'll be Josh Neijman at left tackle. He's kind of played sparingly this year. But yeah, that would be something where like he could really, if he's hurt, he could really use Bach back there, even if it's his first game back.
That's legitimately going to hamper him. He's not going to be as mobile as he normally is with this thing. So that's something. We'll finish off the quarterbacks real quick with Lamar Jackson, kind of a surprise deactivation, non-COVID related illness. Tyler Huntley got the start. He did okay. I wouldn't get rid, if you picked him up, I wouldn't get rid of him just yet. I do expect Lamar back next week, but you never know with these things. So we just got to wait and see. The good news is it sounds like he's doing better. So maybe it was just a cold. Maybe it was just a run of the mill cold and he just was too sick to play. So they did the smart thing and they held him out. So that's it for quarterbacks. I know we want to get to the Monday night thing because we all want to hear Dan's rant. So I kind of want to rapid fire through running backs, but I'll leave it to you guys if there's anybody that you want to touch on first that really was impactful. Otherwise, I can just kind of bang them out.
The 49ers in general. Let's talk about that entire backfield.
So if I could see into the future and be able to figure out who is going to be like the leading running back for the 49ers in any given week, then I'd use that power to like pick the lottery numbers that win the milli. But I don't know. The only thing I can say, so Elijah Mitchell, finger injured, broke his finger, got a pin inserted. Talking about reading between the lines here, he has a pin in his finger that they placed that day. And Kyle Shanahan said with a straight face that he expected him at practice the next day and he thought he was going to play. And even me as an optimist, I'm like, I don't think that's going to happen. And to not my surprise and probably not a lot of other people's non-surprise.
Someone misleading the media? Imagine that.
Yeah, exactly.
An NFL player or coach misleading the media. I'm shocked.
Dude, give it up. We're not going to go on the Aaron Rodgers train. All right? No matter how much you try, give it up, Kyle.
I'm the closest advocate here.
I'll just say the other two. I don't really think there are any that many nice people in the NFL. Well, let's just say it that. I think they're all basically a-holes. So
listen, it's all about reading between the lines. That's what it's all about. So using your injury analysis powers to read between the lines. And hopefully that's what everybody did here with Elijah Mitchell, because it was pretty unrealistic that he was going to play and he did not play. And talking about reading between the lines, you can learn how to do that with my book, Injuries Suck, But Your Fantasy Team Doesn't Have To. We'll talk about that more at the end, but I always thank you guys for your product placement. So Elijah Mitchell missed week 11. He's not a lock for week 12. Jeff Wilson is back from the dead, and he actually looked pretty good in his absence, just a few plays away from having a really nice day. I know. It's like deja vu all over again. We also did have a Trey Sermon sighting, Dan. Did you get excited for that?
I just wish he doesn't play. Just keep him away. It's the best thing for him. Just keep him away from the team.
Dan's doing his best, but everybody else keeps getting hurt. So they're like, all right, well, I guess you got to go in now.
Trey Sermon's going to go join Joe Williams.
They look. Like, you just see it. Like, that first play is like the use check. And you're like, here we go. Like, Debo Samuel. And you're like, they're just, what's he doing? It's ridiculous. But they won and they're on a roll and they're looking good and they got to. Yeah, haven't looked a super good schedule coming up. So I don't know where I read that. I read that in an article on goingforfood.com somewhere.
Nice.
Whatever you says, Dan. Whatever the B-League says.
The same article said something about the Colts going on a run as well. I don't know where.
Wow. Yeah. Whoever wrote that.
You got to read those articles on Going for Two. There's a lot of good stuff there. These guys put out content during the week. It's fantastic stuff, so you got to check it out. There is a lesson here with Trey Sermon. I know he's been getting beaten up all over the place, but when you think about rookies, especially people in dynasty leagues, take into account the unsexy components of the game. Trey Sermon is sitting the bench right now because he's not blocking well. Like, it has nothing to do really with his talent as a runner. He's at risk of getting his quarterback killed. And if you're a rookie and you're at risk to get your quarterback killed, you're not going to play. And we're seeing that unfold this year. This is not the first time that it's happened. It won't be the last. So don't give up on the guy. Players got to develop. But if somebody comes out of college, no matter how talented they are, there's a risk that they're going to play less than they should if they can't block. And we're seeing that unfold here. Kyle, your boy, Jamichael Hasty, ankle injury, missed week 11. Just got to watch a practice. Yeah, I know. Just got to watch the practice reports there. If he's back, he moves ahead of pretty much everybody else, except maybe Jeff Wilson and
Elijah. Yeah, I was going to say he's probably not going to get more carries than Wilson, but he'll be like the pass catching back, which, to be fair, they rarely throw anyway, so it's not meaning much.
Yeah, or when they do, they throw to Debo. But he could be there.
Ayuk.
Yeah, and Ayuk is back from the dead.
So the pass catching back isn't all that coveted for the 49ers.
Yeah, seriously. All right, well, we got to talk about these guys because this was big. I know we've been talking about it for a couple of weeks, but finally, Pete Carroll just finally gave it up and admitted that Chris Carson is going to miss the rest of the year because he needs disc surgery. So I know we rag on him all the time, but Jesus God Almighty, like, they kept us on the string here for 4 or 5 weeks with this, and it's like he never really got that close. It was like he's going to practice, he's not practicing, he's practicing. He's good for a day, then he's out the next 2 days, then he misses the game, then he's back, then he's out. I mean, it was pretty clear that his neck was not going to be able to hold up to this, and finally they just gave it up, and he's going to get surgery, and hopefully he comes back next year, and he's fine. Keeping on the Pete Carroll train, Rashad Penny has a hamstring injury, and Pete Carroll said, and I quote, "It's not a bad injury, so don't trust that. Trust the practice
reports." He's done for the year.
Yeah, trust the practice reports, and also take a look at DJ Dallas, because Alex Collins has not been inspiring, any comparisons to Marshawn Lynch or anybody even resembling something like that. So he may end up, Alex Collins gets injured, which he's been banged up a little bit, or they just get tired of his BS and they give DJ Dallas a shot. Like, stranger things have happened.
One more name to add there as well is Travis Homer.
And Travis Homer is a
pass catching back as well, so that might be a role there that he might have just on his own anyway. So yeah, I think both guys are definitely worth rostering. Sorry, Gladys, go ahead.
No, you're fine. Go.
Sorry to Chris Carson's 2021 season. There goes my Scott Fishbowl RB1, although I am going to win this week, up by 10 with only Chris Godwin left. So unless Chris Godwin fumbles 5 times, which I don't think will happen, I'm going to win. So yay, Scott Fishbowl, get to the winning record this week.
All right.
And for anyone with wanting Scott Fishbowl shirts or just Going for Two gear in general, check out goingfor2.com/store, ViridianGlobal.com, rocking the women rock shirt. There's some more Scott Fishbowl. Well, yeah, a lot of product placement in this episode here.
Love it.
Was that it? Well, interesting is Kareem Hunt coming back. And I guess we could also talk about Baker as well. Like, he's been in and out with so many different injuries. I don't know if there's analysis there, Doc. But what about the Brown situation right now?
Yeah, so the thing with Kareem Hunt is it's interesting. He went on IR with a calf injury. It looks like he might practice this week, so that's at least encouraging that he's got a shot to come back and play. No guarantees there, so just kind of something to watch, wait, hope, and see. And Baker Mayfield is just really banged up. He's, the guy gets an A-plus for constitution and trying to go out there and play. I mean, he's got a bone bruise. He's got torn cartilage in his shoulder. He's got you know, whatever other bumps and bruises, and he's really trying to go out there and gut it out. So if they're saying it looks like he's going to play, there's a risk of re-injury anytime he goes out there from here for the rest of the year, that he leaves mid-game. But he's trying. Like, he's going for the DeAndre Hopkins Award at quarterback. If he can stand, he's trying to go out there and play.
Seems like Baker's one of those guys you don't want to trust if it's a single quarterback league, where you might be forced to play him as super flex as a QB too. But even then, like, if you've got two guys that you know will play the entire game as starters, you're probably better off just going with them over Baker. Sorry,
Dan. Next week you really don't want to play him because it's a Monday night game, so you don't know.
He's fairly struggled at best. Like, Trevor Siemian put up, 30 points this week, right? And he's had players around him dropping like flies. Like, you look at the Saints, they started with Jameis, Kamara, and maybe Callaway, right? Now they're down to
Troutman, two down.
Now they're down to Siemian, Ingram, and Traquan Smith. Like, a backup quarterback for New Orleans is putting up 30 points in a game. Baker Mayfield will not, with his best options, barely. So, yeah. I don't know. I like watching him play. He's a very good quarterback to watch play. He's very fun. But, like, for fantasy, Cam Newton put up 35 points. Like, and you can get him off your waivers in most leagues, right? Unless he's been picked up in all of them. I'm playing a lot of redraft, but I'm just saying that there are, at times, better options out there, especially one
pick up Andy Dalton.
In one QB leagues, like, he shouldn't even be on rosters at this point.
Yeah. Even Joe Flacco this week is probably a better option.
Yeah.
That's just how it looks. And, like, Mayfield, like, at this point, you know, he's almost a mummy when he plays. The guy's wrapped up. Why they don't protect him? Case Keenum is serviceable enough, like Andy Dalton, like
whoever. He's led a team to the playoffs right. once. So,
like, he's serviceable enough to get them past Detroit. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, they should never have put Mayfield out there against Detroit, knowing Keenum is good enough to beat them himself. It's nuts.
Barely threw, right? Like, it seems like the game plan, in a sense, protected him. They were just going to hand it off most of the time, control the clock anyway, and like, just drag out a win that way. But, like, yeah, why even risk him? I agree with you, Dan.
Why?
If they put Case Keenum in for, like, three games, you could get Baker back and, like, probably good for the rest of the season. I agree with you, but...
It's 2-1. Colt McCoy is 2-1.
Yeah.
And the Browns was everyone's legit favorite to win that division, let alone go through the... If that team is that good, they should be able to manage with Keenum even without Mayfield. It's
especially
ridiculous.
It's the offensive line and it's running the ball. That's their strength. That's their identity. So regardless of who the quarterback is, you're right. I agree with you, Dan. So it'd be good for fantasy because we'd probably rather play Case Keenum right now. He just has more of an upside without dealing with those injuries, right? Like if given the chance of having this injured Mayfield or having Keenum in, I think for fantasy, we'd all prefer just to then bench Mayfield and we could use Keenum. Because right now, as you're saying, Dan, like Mayfield's like borderline unusable. Even in Superflex, really.
Yeah, it's really tough. All right, my goal is I want to get to the top of the hour and be ready for you guys to do your to kick into the pregame show. Let's rapid fire through these and
run those go rounds real quick.
Strikes your fancy, then let me know. So the one that's really interesting is Michael Carter ankle injury. This is becoming a thing now. I know veterans of the show know about this. If you're new to the show, do not be fooled by the so-called low-grade high ankle sprain. There is no such thing. And a high ankle sprain is bad no matter what. So minimum of 3 to 4 weeks, probably longer. This could be a season right here. So Ty Johnson and even Tevin Coleman become interesting just on a volume basis going forward for the rest of the year.
Michael Pirine, if it's deep enough.
Yeah, and Michael Pirine too, because one of those other, you know, Tevin Coleman has been known to occasionally get injured.
He's been dealing with injuries this year. He's barely played since September.
He's really, you know, I don't want to say injury prone, but he has been known to get injured. Football is a dangerous sport. So even Michael Pirine could have value. Jordan Howard, knee sprain, probably out this week, could be longer. Just got to wait and see on that. Ezekiel Elliott, kind of gutting it out with this knee thing that's kind of popped up a few times over the last few weeks. They're calling it a bone bruise at this point. He's just kind of battling through it. Probably not an issue right now, but they may opt to rest him more down the stretch. So just something to be aware of if you are Your team is doing really well and you're looking ahead to potentially the playoffs and things like that. If the Cowboys get locked into a playoff spot, Tony Pollard is more than a capable running back and can win them some games. So they may go back to a 50-50 type split, or they may, you know, kind of phase him out altogether and try to get him ready for the actual NFL playoffs, which is not going to do you as a fantasy player any favors in your fantasy playoffs weeks 15, 16, 17. So
real quick, even with Zeke playing on this Thursday night game, is everyone comfortable playing Pollard, knowing, again, they might be short some receiving options?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm comfortable playing Pollard pretty much every week.
Okay, even without the injuries. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. Throw him in the. I'm comfortable throwing him in a flex spot no matter what. And then the thing is, it's like he's got a decent floor, but the thing is, the way I look at it is, if somebody else gets hurt or if Zeke gets hurt in game, then you know, you could hit a home run into the third deck with that one. So
that's, he's had some touchdown games, like multi touchdown games with Zeke healthy, yeah. And so like, yeah, he does have that standalone value anyway. So good,
yeah,
good
point, PPR, guys. He catches the ball, so he's, you know, he definitely can do it, and he's got a decent floor, so. He's got a good floor with upside. So that's, you know, any week I feel like he's a good play, especially if you're stuck somewhere else. That's it for running backs. And that brings us to a couple of wide receivers that are kind of interesting. So Hollywood Brown, it's starting to happen again. Like, that was always the thing with him. He gets dinged up, right? So missed week 11 with a thigh injury. Not a guarantee for week 12. We just got to watch the practice reports and keep our fingers crossed. But that's kind of scary.
One more incision here into the conversation.
Yeah.
It seems like also I was hearing rumors that he was put on the like inactive list, not just with a thigh, but also with the illness. So whatever Lamar had, it seems like he might have caught it as well. So yeah, just an extra complication there.
Yeah.
So I think Bateman playable next week, I think, even though he hasn't really been producing that well. He didn't, you know, thought he might get more targets this
week. This was supposed to be the week, but Lamar screwed it all up. So I think we just kind of roll it forward to next week. If Lamar's back and Marquise Brown is out, then I think Bateman breakout game might actually happen.
But if it's Tyler Huntley again, you might just ignore Bateman and go with the others playing with their starting quarterbacks. Okay, fair enough.
A.J. Brown, looked like he hurt his hand early. That turned out to not be a thing, and then he hurt his ribs after that, and that looks like it is a thing. So same deal. X-rays were negative, but he's not out of the woods yet. We just got to keep our fingers crossed that something else doesn't pop up.
Is anyone considering benching him against the Patriots this week?
A.J. Brown?
Yeah. Just because the Patriots' propensity to take away the top weapon, and they seem to be really good at it, like, it's going to be clearly Brown.
Whole team against the Patriots this week, actually. I don't know anyone who I would play.
The one thing I'll say is that in games where Brown's gotten shut down, like, I remember a game a few years ago with Marshawn Lattimore, or not this season, but that worked too, but like a couple years ago where, like, Tannehill went off and Brown barely did anything. So it seems like Tannehill's able to find ways. But yeah, it looked pretty ugly against the Texans. So who knows?
Yeah, he was funny like the other team yesterday. Yesterday. I wouldn't play. Yeah, I wouldn't play. I can't think of anyone on that team right now that I would play against Patriots.
So yeah, I would.
You would play?
That's, I know, but it's just too hard to not give that opportunity up in PPR. What's he going to get, like 15 targets? Like, come on.
AJ Brown?
Yeah, I don't think he's gotten 15 targets yet this year, Dan, to be fair.
I'm an optimist, Kyle, and I'm all for it. I just, it's one of those things where, like, I kind of feel like I just feel like that's too big of a thing to move off of. Like, we see, like, a good player on a bad team will still get that opportunity. Brandon Cooks in Houston is an opportunity, right? As bad as Houston are, he's still going to get 10, 12 targets. He could go 8 for 60, bang, 14 points, we're off to the races. I kind of feel like that for Brown at this time of year. You have to put him in there and just cross your fingers.
Yeah.
I know there's better players that you could put in there, but it's not Hopkins. Like, there's some receivers. It's not, you can't, if you've got AJ Brown, you might have Golladay. Can't trust Golladay over him. Like,
oh my God.
There's, hey, we're going to get to that in a bit, but I'm just saying that. There's players like that where your roster construct might dictate that you have to play Brown.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, Dan. I think
especially with all the if you deal with other injuries too, you know, he's the healthy guy.
I have a team. I believe it's our league or it's another league I'm in, and I went Golladay, Will Fuller, and I have someone else. Juju, bang! All three of them are gone. Oof. I can't. If I had Brown, even if they were all healthy and Brown was in this situation, I'd still be playing over all of them healthy. You have to hope. For me, I just hope that Brown is going to go, all right, well, he's just going to do enough and hope.
Thinking in most redraft leagues, AJ Brown was a second round pick, probably. Yeah. Maybe if you got lucky to third, like that type of investment, you're saying, if this player is healthy and they're active on game day, they're in my lineup type thing. No questions, regardless. If you've set that line with certain players, Brown's obviously passing that line for you of must starts every week, regardless.
Yeah, I think you think about like worst case scenarios, because I think the longer you play fantasy football, this is going to happen to you where you get cute with a matchup or the weather or something, and then you leave your stud on the bench for somebody who's a lesser caliber player or less regarded player. And then he pops off for 35 on your bench. So it's like, what are you more comfortable living with? Like AJ Brown, you start AJ Brown and he gets you a 6, or you leave him on the bench because you decide to start Nick Westbrook Akine and he pops off for 37 on your bench, and then you lose because of that. I'd rather die on my sword with AJ Brown in there than leave him on the bench for somebody else and lose that way.
It would heavily depends on where you are in your league as well. Like, if you're on top of your table and you have AJ Brown, like you probably are because you have AJ Brown, and the playoffs start, what, week 15? So you're a few weeks away. You're probably a playoff spot. Yeah, you could probably maybe get away to have some variety in your lineup. But, like, if you're on the outskirts looking in, how would you... I don't know if I could. That's the thing. I don't know if I could put him on my bench at that close. I don't know. If this was earlier in the year, maybe, when you might not have as much riding on it, but this close to the playoffs, that'd be tough.
You want to go with the guy you drafted him high for a reason, give him a chance to perform. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. Well, but you don't want to leave a 40 burger on the bench. That's what I'm saying.
Said that about Dante Pettis once, didn't we?
It doesn't mean it's going to go your way, but you gotta think about how you want to play.
Pretty sure AJ Brown as a rookie had more career receiving yards than Dante Pettis. So,
all right, so almost done with Tennessee. But the thing that's interesting about them is so AJ Brown and Marcus Johnson. I think that's who it is. They both could miss this week, so that leaves Nick Westbrook and Chester Rogers as the two. Best receiver, two top receivers there. So if they're available and both of those guys are out, then they actually become interesting. I know it's like kind of crazy to think about
Jeff Swain, kind of the tight end Jeff Swain, if he gets off COVID.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the answer.
Dontre Hilliard?
Yeah. He had like 10 running back. Yeah.
Yeah, he had 10 targets. I would put him in before I put either one of those in.
There you go.
So both the running and the.
I could certainly get behind that.
Yeah.
Even after that, I might still put Dante Foreman in over those guys too. Who knows who's going to be the running back like any week with that group? That's tough against the Patriots, to be honest. I kind of agree with you, Gladys, on there really isn't very much startability.
It's not exciting, but this is the time of year where the wear and tear of the season builds up, and these guys that are younger or kind of less heralded players, like they're just fresher and they can. Sometimes they can break out at this time of year and get you over the hump. Not necessarily give you wide receiver one production, but I think wide receiver three for free off waivers and things like that is very underrated, because when guys get hurt, bye weeks, things like that, a guy that can go out there and get you double digits, that's not nothing.
Sorry, Doc. The one thing to credit you with, Gladys, in terms of the avoid Tennessee, they're at 19.25 for their implied total when I checked earlier today. That's the lowest this week. I think I can't remember what other team. Another team had that same 19.25. So they're really put into that Patriots defense, like shutting down that offense entirely. Yeah. So
that's rough.
Can get wanting to run away from that offense entirely, and even like to your credit, Doc. Like if you can get someone that's going to produce wide receiver three numbers, you might look elsewhere on other teams though. Like there might be other teams where those guys are available.
Yeah, I wasn't necessarily
like, over
talking
them,
about
yeah.
those guys, but just in general, mm-hmm. like that it's underrated.
No, for sure.
And speaking of underrated, Jamal Agnew was having a season, and it's over now. He injured his hip. He's out for the year. It was fun while it lasted for Jacksonville, and now they got to move on. I know people are pivoting back to Laviska Shenault. I don't know if I can do it, but I guess he's going to get another chance. It's like he hasn't produced up to this point. Like everybody else has gotten injured, and he still hasn't done anything. So I guess we'll tee it up one more time and see if we can get it to work, but I'm not really optimistic. Hopefully this is like eighth time is the charm for him, but I don't know. And just real quick, we'll hit on the tight ends. We talked about Troutman. Logan Thomas. We have a Logan Thomas sighting. He could be back at practice this week.
Which is a good time for them because Ricky Seals-Jones missed last week. Yeah. I don't know. Do we have an update on him either? Who is the better chance to play in week 12? That'd be interesting.
Yeah, it might come down to the wire on that one. Ricky Seals-Jones, hip injury, missed this week. It's just kind of like watch practice reports. My understanding is that it was an acute exacerbation of a chronic injury with him. So I really don't know I don't know what to say about it, how it's going to play out. It's really like we just got to see how he's doing. And Logan Thomas, like he's been out for a while with his hamstring, but it looked like he was at least getting close. And him coming back is no small thing. So if you were clever enough to stash him on waivers a few weeks ago when we talked about him, now you might actually get your, get a return on that investment, which is great.
And then the other gets up to second on the team in targets right behind McLaurin as soon as he's back. So
Sure.
That's a player because he's been off for so long. You figure when he's back, he's going to be healthy. Like you're confident firing up Logan Thomas right away his first week back.
Oh yeah, especially at tight end. And then the last guy I wanted to mention is Albert O. I'm going to butcher his name. Let's see.
Okwebunan.
What is it?
Okwebunan.
Okwebunan. I like it. I think. Okay. Yeah, Albert Okwebunan for Denver. So he was on a bye, and people kind of forgot about him, but he was their leading receiver in week 10. And he definitely fits the mold of, at worst, in case of emergency, break glass tight end for week 12. He could be even more valuable. So he's definitely worth a dart throw if he's out there and you're hurting for tight end production.
Same situation as Washer, right? The original starter was hurt in terms of Noah Fant. So it's it's the race to see who comes back healthier.
Yeah, and he was COVID.
I thought Fant was COVID, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He was COVID, but Albert O can play. Like he can play. So you throw him out there, and if I had a choice between him and Juwan Johnson, I probably would go Albert O. If I had to throw a dart at one of them. So just something to really, if maybe not even pick them up, but if you're really hurting a tight end, you might be able to sneak them on your roster and get some production out of them. And that is that. So we went a little over, but we made it.
That's okay. So here we are, Monday Night Football, Giants at Buccaneers, the over-under set at 49.5. The Bucs are 10.5-point favorites here. So a few stats courtesy of Dan. This one really struck me, and we'll get it out of the way first so we can get to the better ones, but the Giants are 3-6. It's their best 9-game record, like through the first 9 games of the season, since 2016. So that's 6 seasons ago. So
that's amazing.
And they've lost twice as many games as they've won, and it's the best start in 6 years. So Dan, I don't know if there's anything you want to say about the Giants at this point, but I can go through other stats too if you want.
Yeah, you can. I'll let you do that. But there's this weird stat out there about the Giants since 2017. Coming off a loss on the road, they have beaten the spread better than any team in the NFL. So that's some weird thing. They're like 18-3 or something ridiculous after a loss. On the road, they cover. So whatever. 10.5? I like it. I'm just saying.
Considering how the Bucs were struggling last week against a defense that themselves have been struggling, yeah, I can see that of wanting to go with the Giants there on that. Yeah.
There's something ridiculous. So since 2017, they lead the league in like wins against the spread on the road. It's some weird, like complex stat that after they lose and they play on the road, they beat the spread. It's whatever.
Okay, take shout out to my sister who lives in Tampa and wants to know if the Bucs are playing tonight. This is what I'm dealing with.
Oh, nice.
Well, yes, they are. The Bucks are playing tonight. We don't know which Bucks are. I guess we do. Gronk is playing, but yeah.
Gronk is playing. Yes.
So in terms of stats, I really like. So the Daniel Jones passer rating on the road being 98.6, and then his home passer rating is 79.9. Touchdown interception ratio, and I assume this is just from this year, Dan, not his whole career, but 5 touchdowns at home, 2 on interceptions. And you didn't put the touchdowns and interceptions on the road. My bad. Sorry. But yeah, like just that like 20-point dip in passer rating and it being better on the road, that's interesting. That's hilarious almost. No, I'm sorry about your Giants, dude.
No pressure. There's no pressure, mate. There's no pressure in Tampa. There's no pressure. Yeah. What if this can go either way. Like, we see what Tampa are like at home. They're 5-4 over this year. At home, they're like 3-1 over at home. Giants on the road, they're 3-1 over as the away team this year. They've covered the spread, 5-4 this year, 3-1 on the road. So, you know, I feel like this is going over, and I feel like the Giants are going to cover. And I feel like Tampa's going to win. It almost feels like, yeah, Tampa's going to win by like 7, 8, 9.
Really?
Doesn't matter.
You see, yeah. I'm also taking the over in the hopes that Daniel Jones gets me those 36 fantasy points. And I win the
there you go.
So, yes, we'll go with there the over go. For sure.
Yeah, I mean, we said it before. The Giants average more yards per game with Barkley than without. It seems logical, but we haven't seen Barkley play. I just saw that he's played 8 games in 2 years. So you don't really feel like he adds that much more to the Giants because we haven't really seen that much of him. So, you know, to know that Jones not only plays better on the road, but he's going to, you know, the Giants as a whole are going to put up nearly 400 yards on average. That's a big deal. Like,
yeah, the 100-yard difference there. What is it? You put it 380 yards average when Barkley's there, 277.5 without him. So, yeah, over 100-yard difference by one player. That's pretty – wonder why they took him second overall.
Because it was him or Sam Darnold, right? So
that's true. I guess he was still in New York, right? So yeah, that's fair.
Call me crazy, guys.
Or Josh Rosen, I guess.
I think the Giants are going to win this game outright. I know I went to the well with them against Kansas City and it almost worked out, but man, the Giants just really seem to have Tom Brady's number a little bit, and I definitely like the 10-point, you know, Giants and 10.5, but I feel like the Giants are going to find a way to win this game. They were been so close a couple of times. I know, Dan. I know. I'm not saying they fuck your cops. No, they're going to win. I think they're going to win the game.
Andrew Thomas. Andrew Thomas being back is a big deal, but Nate Solder's still there. That's true. I prefer Matt. Yeah, it's just little things like Gronk being back.
Gronk is back, but. You know, he's not his usual self. I mean, he was barely upright when they tried to run him out there a couple of weeks ago. So I wouldn't read too much into that. I mean, he's still Gronk, but you know, it's not like Super Bowl Gronk.
Even without Gronk, I think there's another stat that Dan sees there that we'll pull out as we get to our props. Unless anyone has any other general thoughts they want to get to.
Oh, go! I want to hear this.
Yeah, well, okay. We'll start with the quarterbacks. So looking at our poll or at the lines from BetMGM, and Dan did make a Twitter poll for us for all these. The passing yards set Daniel Jones over under is 240.5. Tom Brady is 298.5. The winner of the poll was Tom Brady over at 35%. Jones over 25%, and then Jones under 21, Brady under 19. So both of the overs were favored. And Dan, I did like these notes you put. So Brady at home this year, 370 passing yards against Dallas, 259 against Atlanta, 437 against Miami, 226 against Chicago. So two times he's hit it, two he hasn't. I think it's the same thing with Daniel Jones, actually. Only once he's hit it, the 402 against New Orleans. But all three other road games, he hasn't hit it, the 240. So interesting there. Anyone want to talk about the quarterbacks?
No. So are we thinking that Jones is going to throw less because Barkley's in? Is that where we're going with that?
Not necessarily, because I think Barkley's so impactful in the passing game that a lot of those yards that Barkley's accumulating is Daniel Jones throwing it to him. So I would say the opposite. I think with Barkley, it would expect more passing from Daniel Jones. Does that work out, Dan, or am I crazy?
Yeah, I could see that.
Favors that too, because you don't want to run against Tampa Bay at all. Like when they've been had through the air.
Yeah, I think they can figure that out. Jones is going to have to, you know, Bucks rush is just ridiculous. I don't know, but you know, he's going to have to do that with Barkley through the year. There's no other way. They're just going to call a lot of. Play options. I could see Jones rushing further than the 20. We'll get to that in a minute.
Real quick, I like both these quarterbacks over on these lines. Again, taking the over in the game, more of the shootout scenario. So I think I voted for Brady in the poll, but I could have gone either way with on the over on either. But yeah, I do kind of like it, even though again for Jones, it hasn't necessarily the numbers have been there this year, but it's also. I don't think any of those games were with Barkley. Maybe one of them were on the road. So, we get to rushing. Dan already said it. So the only Giants player we could find the rush yards for was Daniel Jones, 20 and a half. Again, the questionability of which running backs were going to be available. They didn't put any lines. So 20 and a half rush yards for Daniel Jones, 64 and a half rush yards for Fournette is the over-under. And then Tom Brady, they have him at a half yard. So the poll was both options for Fournette, over and under, and then Jones and Brady both over. I'd say maybe surprisingly, Fournette got 46% of the vote, almost half the votes to himself on the over there. And I don't know that it's necessarily wrong to call him over, but man, both of those quarterback rushing lines... I love both of them, really. Half a yard for Brady. That's what I voted for in the poll. But like 21 yards for Jones easily too, right? Because I mean, you said, Dan, in the show sheet, he averages 29 rush yards a game.
Well, do you guys remember last week we talked about this very briefly, where it's like it was Stafford and whoever the other guy that was playing, and it was like two and a half, three and a half, Tannehill. And I was like, I finally got one. I was like, I like the unders for both of these, and they both came in under. You got to keep in mind with these low, you know, guys that don't run and things like that. Like when they kneel, like that goes against their rushing yards too. So, like, I mean, how much of a gut punch is that? It's like you got 4 yards rushing, and then they win the game. They go into the V formation. They take two kneel downs. You end up with 2 yards. And you lose. I mean,
that's now I know it doesn't help the prop lines, but I will say for fantasy purposes, one scoring setting that I find actually helps that is the point per carry leagues. When you give like a .15 per carry or .2 per carry, and that way, like the kneel down is mitigated by the fact that they're getting the point for the carry. Yeah, and I used to not like it. Like, you know, like a reception is something, but like just getting the ball isn't really worth anything. But like I can see where. Like for those quarterback kneel downs, it helps mitigate that. But I think with Brady though, I think it's the scenario of the game, right? Like if we're thinking close game, he may not be able to just kneel down at the end, right? Like throwing till the very end. So it's kind of banking on that more than anything. Because you're right, Doc. Like exactly. Like he gets to the 4 yards and then suddenly 3 kneel downs takes it all away, right? So yeah,
no, yeah, that's really low though. 0.5 is. I mean, it doesn't get any lower than that. But rushing wise, he's only. Had 0 rushing yards twice this year. So, I mean, he's had 1 a few times, a couple times he's had 2. Like, you know, I kind of like it, you know? It's like he's just got to get 1 yard.
If Brady was a gentleman and anything like Aaron Rodgers, he'd send the backup out to kneel for him.
There you go.
That would require him to leave early to the locker room, though.
Go on, Jordan. Take the knee. Do that for me. Like, come on.
He's had 1 yard twice or once. He had two twice. He had 3. I like it. So I feel like you got to go over on that one.
So someone said, good to know. I'm not sure what it is, but I'm glad we could help you with that, T. So thanks. Thanks, T. Thanks for the support. Appreciate the sister support here. Anyone want to talk about Fournette's line, the 64 and a half? I'm not sure, like, I really even want to touch either the over-under. I really don't know how to feel about it. Does anyone have a good read on it?
No, I don't have a good read on it. But in fairness, I never have a good read on it, but that doesn't ever stop me from giving an opinion. But I'm going to not give an opinion this time.
I like him in the next section, just quietly.
What's the next section?
Receptions. So Fournette has his receiving yards is set at 26 and a half, the over-under. Mike Evans, 65 and a half, and then a couple of Giants. Kadarius Toney, 42 and a half. Kenny Golladay, 51 and a half. And we'll get to some stats later. But yeah, Dan, obviously you like Fournette there, the over on that 26 and a half. I know in the poll you gave the under.
Yeah.
Which received the least amount of votes, so people seem to like that over.
Yeah. Fournette has 1 game under 26 receiving yards this year, which was 9. Everything else has had... over 23 yards. He's had 4 games over 40 receiving yards this year. I like him very much.
Wait, what did you just say?
So the over-under is 26.5 yards for Fournette.
Yeah, but his last two games, he hasn't, like, had over 50 receiving yards, right?
His last two games receiving, he had 45 and 17.
And 17.
Sorry, but before that, he went 9, 46, 43, 47.
So 26, two games 20. This year under that 26. Yeah. Okay.
45, 46, 43, 47.
Interesting. Yeah, so like I said, like in the poll, that was the you gave the other option there. It's funny, you gave Evans over, Tony over, and then Golladay and Fournette under, and the unders were the least popular. The Tony won the vote, 41% said over on Tony. I actually picked the under there. I finally picked an under, and it was the Golladay. Just because I was shocked.
Izzy would be so proud.
I was shocked that it was 9 yards more than Tony. If anything, I'd expect, but like, because to me, Golladay has been kind of a ghost. Even at 42.5, I probably still would have gone under on Golladay. I think he's hit the over on that once this year, hasn't he?
Yeah, I guess honestly to be fair to
Tony, he's probably only hit it over there once as well. But yeah, I definitely liked both the Bucks, like Evans and Fournette. Evans over 60.5 yards, and I like that a lot. Before even you do, actually, it's against your Giants. Maybe you don't want to say it, but the NFL record for at least the most that the Giants ever faced. Want me to share it? You want me to share it, don't you? Yeah. So, Mike Evans averaging.
Sounds like you want to share. Sounds like you want to share it.
Go with Mike Evans, guys. I'm excited about Mike Evans. Clearly, 116 yards per game is what he's averaging, and 6 touchdowns in 5 games. And apparently, it's the most yards per game and combined with touchdowns versus the Giants since 1970, the merger. So, kind of historic numbers for Evans against the Giants, but.
For players who have played 5 games against the Giants, I should have
meant to prepare, true.
For those who have played, the receivers that have played against the Giants 5 times, Mike Evans has the most yards per game and touchdowns per game against the Giants than anyone else since 1970. We play him tonight. I don't know if you knew that.
So you really like the over on the 65.5 yards, don't you?
I like all the odds for all of them. I like Golladay under. I like Tony over. I like Fournette over. I like Evans over. It's one of those weird ones.
Huh. All right. So I guess the game has started, but what's everyone's favorite line that we talked about?
Giants 10.5.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
I'll take the 10.5, to be honest.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
I still like the Brady half yard. And like really both quarterbacks.
That's my second favorite one.
I thought you guys would like that. I just saw a yard. I'm sure he's got a lot. Part of me was like, all he has to do is like short yards, put his head down, cross for a first down. But then I was like, they're not going to have short yards.
Well, he does do those sneaks too. He does do the, he is kind of known for those
third and short,
like 1 yard, just be at the goal line. Short,
and
on
the
one.
Just get a touchdown.
Who?
I think it's Godwin.
Yeah. Wow, nice.
Godwin. For 13 yards, touchdown reception. But in that series, Fournette had 2 catches, 2 receptions. So
there you go.
Dan.
Yeah, already looking to get the over. First stretch is Dan.
Oh my god.
And he should definitely get that 26 probably. Or sorry, 27.
I don't want to say anything. Every time we do that and then we
good news use it as like Giants.
Nothing for the rest of the game. Dan.
And I'm not sure that Gronk is playing because the 2 passes to the tight ends went to break. So I don't see Gronk. I didn't see Gronk out there. But
it'll be one of those things where he plays 40%
of the snaps. That doesn't mean he's going to play 8 snaps, you know?
Yeah.
They'll play him if it's a close game at the end in the fourth quarter type thing.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to mention that I forgot from – not related to this, but the forgotten man from last year with Antonio Brown, you know, potentially dealing with this heel-ankle thing, which doesn't seem to be getting any better. Scotty Miller went on IR a while ago with a toe injury, and it looks like he's coming off of IR maybe soon. So he has flashed in the past when given the opportunity, and I know Godwin's playing in this game, but he's kind of had this kind of foot thing going on. So he's just somebody to kind of keep on your radar in case these guys kind of start dropping like flies. Maybe scoop him up because he's another way to get a cheap piece of that offense and come playoff time. Again, those guys you can slide in at wide receiver 3 that have some upside, like they can really do you some favors when, you know, the wear and tear of the season starts catching up to people. You know, he's fresh off the injured list and he's playing on a high-powered offense. Those are the kind of guys you want to throw in there in a playoff game and, you know, maybe he gets you a couple touchdowns or something like that. Stranger things have happened.
So you'd prefer Scotty Miller, say, over Tyler Johnson or Cyril Grayson on a week, plug in Miller?
If they're both, if there was a number three to get in there and he's healthy, then I would go Scotty Miller. The only reason that Ty Johnson is even a thing is because Scotty Miller is injured. Otherwise, he'd be the one reaping the benefits of it.
Should I drop Michael Carter and pick up another running back?
I would. Well, we dynasty or redraft?
Redraft.
I would strongly consider it.
I'm maybe about the biggest Michael Carter fan as you can find, and I'd be fine with it too.
What happened?
Did you beat me in our league this week by 5 points? Was that you, Ashley?
I didn't want to mention it, but I don't want to say that I beat you. I like to think of it as Austin Eckler beat you. Because you had like a 95% chance. So Austin, if you're watching, thank you. You had like a 95% chance to win because literally everybody on my team, Lamar, got sick. Everybody else was active and they were sick. It was just ugly.
The Steelers.
And you had Najee and you had Pat Freiermuth and I had Austin Eckler and you were up by like 10. And he went ham. And
I also had Darnell Mooney on the bench, I think, which didn't help.
Well, listen, nobody's perfect.
You still in first in that league, Doc?
I don't want to brag or anything, but yes.
Looking good. The robust RB strategy worked. I didn't pick the right players, apparently. You did, so good job on that.
It's all about getting lucky with injuries. That's really what it's all about. I mean, you had J.K. Dobbins, and he was done before the season even started.
Chubb's been in and out of the lineup.
Chubb got hurt. It could just as easily go the other way. So nothing guaranteed there, just – very happy with the way things are going now, and hopefully my luck holds out.
Yes, we can't necessarily guarantee it because no one knows the future holds, but we'll try to be here every Monday on the Going for Two Live Network. So once again, the whole crew, Gladys on Twitter at Gladys L. Tyler, Dr. James Freddy's on Twitter at TFS Doc, Dan's at The B League Says, I'm at Senra Says. As always, listen to everything Going for Two Live every week. We got lots of great content. There's the book, of course. Injuries suck, but your fantasy team doesn't have to. By Dr. James Ferretti. So thanks for that, Doc. Thanks for your presence, everyone. I guess this week, the DFS Armchair Show, instead of being on Friday, I believe they're going to Wednesday. So a change of the schedule this week with the Thanksgiving Thursday games. Tomorrow, Speak On It will be on again. So definitely, again, check out everything we've got going Going for Two Live on the Going for Two Live network. And this was the 2-Point Conversion. On behalf of Dan, Doc, Gladys, I'm Kyle Senra signing out. See you all next week.
Happy Bye, Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy
What is it?